You would take your Bible and turn to the book of James, chapter 1, please. In the coming weeks, the musicians will be teaching you our yearly theme song. And thank you, Brother Wilson, for putting that together. We appreciate that labour of love to help us to cement the yearly theme. James chapter 1 verses 5 to 8 deals with this very issue of wisdom and our need for wisdom. Verse number 5 to verse 8 reads, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we pray for your anointing and blessing upon your eternal word. O God, lead us into truth, we pray, that we might glorify the Lord Jesus. In his name we do ask. Amen. The words wise and wisdom are mentioned approximately 500 times within our Bible. It's also important to note that words like instruction, understanding, prudence, knowledge, discretion, equity, judgment, and there are a few others. These words are synonymous or are used to convey the principle of wisdom. And you will find these words mentioned approximately 400 times plus. So we have approximately, at least, modestly, the issue of wisdom mentioned in the scriptures approximately 1,000 times, 900 to 1,000 times. The book of Proverbs uses these words predominantly, uses the word wise, wisdom, and uses the above synonyms as well. It is the predominant book on the subject of wisdom. But yet it's interesting to note that if you were to do a study on just the word wise and wisdom, you'll find it more predominantly within the book of Ecclesiastes. That is, chapter for chapter, verse for verse. In other words, the word wisdom or wise within the book of Ecclesiastes appears one to every five or six verses. You'll find a usage of the word wise or wisdom. So on ratio, it has the most references to the word wisdom in the scriptures, even beyond the book of Proverbs. But of course, the book of Proverbs uses these other synonyms extensively to convey the need that you and I have for wisdom. And this wisdom comes from God. The Word of God is saturated with the subject of wisdom. And that conveys to you and I that God's wisdom is accessible. Available. It's interesting that the first usage of the word wise or wisdom is found in Genesis chapter 3, please. If you would turn there with me for a moment. Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 6. This is the first reference to the word wisdom or wise in the scriptures. And the Bible reads in verse number 6 of Genesis, the third chapter, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Much could be said about the usage of the word wise for the first time in the scriptures from this passage of scripture. But I'd like to just bring to your attention one thought for the time being, and that is the fact that wisdom is something that we all desire. And Eve looked for an opportunity to gain wisdom. Though it was in a negative sense, and though she was selfish and she violated the boundaries of the Word of God, I'd like to just simply focus upon the fact that Eve conveys to us the desire within the human heart to have wisdom or the ability to make right decisions. I think we would all agree that we all desire the ability to make right decisions. And this is evident from the very first mention of the subject of wisdom within the scriptures. How do we receive and apply wisdom in 2013? There will be times that you and I will need the wisdom of God during the course of this year. Mark my words. You will need God's wisdom in 2013. And may I prophesy a little that you will need wisdom more than once in 2013. In fact, you might find that you will lose count how many times you will need the wisdom of God in the year before us. Now back in the book of James, chapter 1, please, after a brief introduction, James addresses the issue of trials and testings from verses 2 to 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, he addresses the issue of trials and tribulations. Now, following this, it is no coincidence that he mentions and addresses the subject of wisdom. May I say, the reason being is that it's during those times of difficulties that we definitely need the wisdom of God. Amen to that. Through the valleys that God will lead you and I through in 2013, we will be in need of God's wisdom. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, please, for a moment, and then we'll come back to James 1. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 reads, "Wisdom is the principal thing, the most important thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, you will get understanding. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly that it is of utmost importance that you and I have the wisdom of God upon our lives. So therefore, the Bible wisely counsels us, get wisdom. And with that wisdom, you will gain understanding. You will gain the ability to make right decisions, and you will know which path to take. Life can often be a series of mazes, can it not? And we need the wisdom of God to know which path, O God, am I to take. And with that introduction in mind, I'd like for you to move back to James chapter 1. I'd like for us to see this morning from this passage of Scripture how we can get wisdom, as God commands us to get wisdom in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7. The first principle I'd like for us to note that will help us to get this wisdom that God offers you and I, and of which the Scriptures are saturated with, is that number one, we need to confess that we need God's wisdom. We must confess that we need God's wisdom. Note there in the first part of verse 5, the Bible reads, if any of you lack wisdom, we must first and foremost confess that we need wisdom in 2013 if we are to receive God's wisdom. Now by wisdom we simply mean the practical application of biblical truth. Now technically and biblically and theologically, wisdom is all about God. Wisdom is all about the Scriptures. You cannot refer to wisdom theologically or doctrinally correct outside of God and His Word. So when God gives to us, makes available to you and I wisdom, it is the practical application of biblical truth. That is wisdom. The practical application of biblical truth, where God will grant you and I the insight and the ability to make the right decision to know which path shall I take. That's wisdom. In the book of Jude, verse number 25, the Bible teaches us that God is only wise. And this wisdom is evident in the person of God. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 20. And God's wisdom is also evident in His workings. Psalm 104, please, for a moment. Psalm 104. Verse number 24, please. Psalm 104, chapter 104, verse number 24. Note, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So we see from the Scriptures that God is only wise. He is wisdom personified. And that's why within the book of Proverbs, for example, we see wisdom personified. God is wisdom. God gives evidence of His wisdom in all that He is and in all that He does. And the Bible teaches us if we are to get wisdom, based upon James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, it begins with you and I confessing that we need the wisdom of God. If any of you Note there the usage of that word you there in verse number 5 of James chapter 1. This is a very personal address. If any of you, or in a literal sense, it's saying, and you, when you will next need wisdom. We must humbly confess before God that we need His wisdom. This is the first step to receiving His wisdom. Now you might be thinking, well, Pastor, that's fairly obvious. Well, it is. But think about it for a moment. How often do we rely upon our own wisdom? Come on, don't lie to me. How often do we just rely upon our own wisdom? More often than what we should. You know that's true. You know that's true. We don't want to admit it openly, but we do. So the first step to you and I having God's wisdom is to confess that we need His wisdom. We are not God. We are not only wise. We need His wisdom to help us to make right decisions, biblical decisions, God-honoring decisions in 2013. It could be within the realm of your stage of life, in the context of marriage or parenting or schooling or ministry. It might be within the context of a time in your life where you're faced with a new responsibility or a new opportunity, or where you've got to make a decision. You've just got to make a decision. Maybe it's within a new circumstance, a difficulty that God might allow into your life, or a new challenge that God might place before you in 2013. The word confess means to agree with, and this is the essence of this little phrase, if any of you lack wisdom. It's literally saying, yes, there will be times that you and I will need the wisdom of God. We will lack God's wisdom, and we need God's help personally. And to confess means to agree with. Let me ask you this morning, do you agree with God that you need His wisdom this year? Or will you agree with God that you will need His wisdom in 2013? And as we read on in James chapter 1 verse number 5, the Bible goes on to teach principle number 2, let him ask of God. We must, number 1, confess that we need God's wisdom. And secondly, we need to call upon God for wisdom. We must confess that we need God's wisdom. And secondly, we must do something about that and call upon God for that wisdom. The Bible reads, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It is possible for you and I to ask wisdom of God because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that oneness we have in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 10 that we have access into the very presence of God the Father through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can ask of God. We have that opportunity. We have that privilege. So if we are to attain to God's wisdom, if we are to get wisdom, we need to confess that we need God's wisdom, and secondly, we need to call upon God for that wisdom. For God to impart His wisdom to you and I, without any desire for you and I wanting the wisdom of God, is like casting pearls before swines. God is not going to give you wisdom unless you ask for wisdom. See? That's what the Bible teaches. If any of you lack wisdom, if we ask, then we are acknowledging our need. Are we not? So we need to call upon God for that wisdom. The classic example of that is King Solomon, who said in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 10, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" King Solomon understood that he needed the wisdom of God. He confessed that need, and thereby he asked for wisdom. In the book of James chapter 4, there in verse number 2, the end of that verse, it reads, "Ye have not because ye ask not." In Matthew 21:22, the Bible reads, "And all things," said the Lord Jesus, "and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Where do you go for your wisdom? May the Lord remind us afresh this morning that we need to go to Him first and foremost for wisdom. And God gives His wisdom directly through, predominantly through the eternal Word of God. And as I have mentioned, no less than 900 references in the Scriptures to the subject of wisdom. God directs in and through His living eternal Word. Hebrews 4:12. But also God can give wisdom through spiritual authorities in our lives. For example, for you young people, for you young children and teenagers and young adults, God can impart wisdom to you via your authorities. For example, your parents can be the mediums of channeling God's wisdom to you. So we must call upon God for this wisdom. If we are to receive God's wisdom, then we need to call upon Him. God provides His wisdom directly through the Scriptures, but also God provides His wisdom in and through the authorities and those individuals that God places over us. Simple but yet profound. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Oh, I must confess to you this morning that even I, as a pastor, from time to time have been guilty of not asking God for wisdom. Instead, I have rested upon my own reasoning. I've looked for that book that might have the answer. Instead of going to the all-wise God Himself, have we not all been guilty of that? So we must confess our need for wisdom, and we must call upon God for wisdom. Let Him ask of God. God invites us. He invites you and I as His people to receive this wisdom. But also note there, as we read on verse number 5, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. I like that. To all men. This is thirdly our comfort. Comfort to all that ask God for wisdom. And what is that comfort? That giveth to all men. Liberally means generously. God is not stingy in holding back His wisdom from you and I. Very generous. If you and I ask for wisdom, God will give His wisdom out of a heart of generosity. Liberally, with generosity, over and abundantly. And also note then verse number 5, and upbraideth not. Now you ladies know what it means to braid a knot, or to braid your hair. Well, when God gives wisdom, He doesn't make knots out of our lives. He gives clarity. He gives direction. Upbraideth not, the Bible teaches us. God promises to give us wisdom. There are no strings attached. He will give freely without any reproach. The Bible teaches us, if any of you lack wisdom, I will give it to you. I will give it to all men generously. Without any strings attached. Without any bindings. I'll give you freely of my wisdom. That is the God that we serve. What a wonderful Savior. The end of verse number 5 it reads, and it shall be given him. Just in case we didn't get the point. See? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. That's the comfort we had, that God offers His wisdom to all men. God promises His wisdom to His children when they ask, and if they will ask. Now the all men is within the context of God's people. Because note then verse number 2, as James the Apostle writes, my brethren, my friend, if you want the guarantee of having the wisdom of God upon your life and upon my life, this belongs to those that are a part of God's family, that are the brethren. In John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible reads, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The all men here is in reference to the context of God's people. God doesn't offer His wisdom to Bill Gates or Rupert Murdoch. He offers His wisdom, He promises His wisdom for His people. Because we are the people of God. We believe in the all-wise God. Why would God cast pearls before swines by offering His wisdom to those that have no regard for the God of the heavenlies? That doesn't make sense. That's not scriptural. It's not the context of this passage of scripture. It's in reference to the people of God. The all men is in reference to the people of God. God offers all men, those that are part of my family, wisdom. See, God is not partial in the giving of wisdom to one above another. In fact, God addresses the issue of partiality there in James chapter 2, verse number 4. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? See, God is not partial. He offers His wisdom to all men. So we must confess that we need God's wisdom. We must call upon God for that wisdom. Let him ask of God. Thirdly, we have the comfort that God will give that wisdom out of a heart of generosity without any strings attached. But last but not least, note the condition. There is a little condition here. Look at verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, but let him ask in faith. In Genesis chapter 41, verse number 39, the Bible makes reference to the fact that Joseph had the wisdom of God upon him. And Pharaoh recognized that, and he recognized the fact that the hand of God was upon Joseph, and thereby Pharaoh made Joseph the second in charge over all Egypt, because he recognized that upon this man of God lies God's wisdom. I love the example there of John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, when the religious leaders brought to the Lord Jesus a woman that had committed adultery. And they said to the Lord Jesus in the presence of this woman, "Doesn't the law demand that we stone her to death for her immorality?" And then our Lord Jesus wisely responded to that by simply saying, He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And one by one, the Bible teaches us that those religious leaders went their way. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Joseph of old had the wisdom of God upon his life. The Lord Jesus personified wisdom as he walked upon planet Earth. In fact, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the Bible reads that he was full of wisdom. And the condition that I'd like to focus upon, last but not least this morning, concerning this subject of wisdom, is that there is a condition. And that condition is wrapped up in that word that begins with the letter F. Faith. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask in faith. In other words, God promises wisdom for his people, provided God's people ask mixed with faith. We ask believing that God will give us that which we ask of him, because we have asked upon the authority and within the context of the Word of God. We must ask in faith. In Hebrews 11:6, the Bible reads, "Without faith it is impossible to please him." In 1 John 5:14, the Bible reads, "This is the confidence that we have in him: if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." We must ask in faith. In other words, as we ask for wisdom, if we are to receive God's wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who promises to give wisdom to all men, but we must ask in faith. There's that faith issue. Once again, we can't escape it, can we? The just shall live by. If you want God's wisdom for your life and for my life, we need to ask in faith. The just shall live by faith. Nothing wavering. The word wavering here is in reference to doubt. If we doubt that God will give us that wisdom, when we ask, we are like the waters of the seas driven to and fro, without any direction, without any progress, and we will forfeit the wisdom of God. We need to ask for wisdom with faith. To ask for wisdom without faith is like being in a boat without a sail or without a rudder. You will become a victim of the waters and the winds. Oh, God is so definite there in verse number 7, please. "But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And what's the context of that? It is, speak to me, wisdom. If we don't ask for wisdom with faith, believing that we've asked, then we will receive, then we're not going to receive it. Then he writes in verse number 8 that this person that fails to ask for wisdom mixed with faith is not only one that has no real direction, but this individual will also be unstable in all their ways. A double-minded man. A heart that is divided in its loyalty is unstable in all his ways. So the Bible exhorts you and I to ask for wisdom in faith. Instability is a mark of a person that fails to ask God for wisdom by faith. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A person that fails to ask God for wisdom, a person that fails to ask God for wisdom by faith will be unstable, will lack that direction and that progress within their lives. Is that where you want to be in 2013? Well, that's not where I want to be. I'd like to have direction. I'd like to progress. I want to be stable. Well, the Bible teaches us how. Ask for wisdom by faith. Mixed with faith. Ask for wisdom, believing that we have asked according to His will, and God promises to provide that wisdom. That it will be within His time frame. Faith is the platter upon which God offers wisdom to the child of God when we ask. Faith is the platter or the plate upon which God offers His wisdom to those that ask. It's as if we provide the plate, faith, and we ask. And the Bible teaches us, but let him ask in faith. My friend, this morning, you and I need wisdom in 2013. We will need God's wisdom for 2013. Are we prepared to humbly admit this fact? Or are we going to just carry on as we did in 2012 possibly by leaning upon our own understanding? I'd like to encourage you, as the year is before us, the year is only 6 days old. Am I right or not? It's a young year thus far. I believe in a young earth, and I believe in, thank God, it's a young year as well. We're 6 days old. 2013 is 6 days old, and I'd like to encourage you to make a commitment this day to say, God, I confess I need your wisdom, so I'm going to ask you for wisdom, and I'm thankful that you've promised to offer me wisdom. But Lord, I ask believing. I ask with faith, knowing that I've asked according to your will, and you've promised to give that wisdom. the reception, the application of that wisdom is where the rubber meets the road. But let him ask in faith. And as we wait upon the Lord to give us that wisdom for 2013, we need to have the spiritual discernment to know this is the path that God has for me, and beyond that I need to take that first step in that direction. God promises His wisdom for those that will ask with faith. So I'd like to encourage you in 2013. We're only 6 days old. Wisdom. Let him ask of God. Because I can assure you, you'll need God's wisdom this year. You'll need the wisdom of God this year. Oh, but Pastor, no. Yes, you will. You mark my words. You will need the wisdom of God in 2013. Oh, Pastor, how do you know that? I know that because this is our yearly theme. I've known this theme for the last 6 months. So I've been psyching myself up for the fact that, okay, 2013, I'm going to need to make some decisions. And I'm going to need God's wisdom. And so will you. Let's bow for prayer.